Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the show today. I'm so excited to introduce my guest, Andrea Hughes, who lives in Michigan and is a registered nurse there and also a gardener. And she has a wonderful blog. If you haven't seen it, you're going to want to visit her blog, and I'll put the link to the show notes page in there. She's currently taking her Master Gardener class through Michigan State University, and she's here to share her gardening journey with us. So welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi, thank you.
And go ahead and just tell us a little bit. I kind of gave a brief introduction, but go ahead and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I grew up in Michigan. I am a registered nurse currently, so gardening is mostly my hobby. I've been gardening since I was a little kid with my parents. I've also, between school and things, I was in the Peace Corps for a short time, so I did a little bit of gardening in Africa, in the country of Malawi, and that's where I learned a little bit about permaculture. And I can't call myself a permaculture gardener now. I'm just a hobby backyard gardener, but I love learning about gardening and doing it for fun and sharing my endeavors with others.
Wow, I didn't realize you were in the Peace Corps. That's awesome. So do you want to tell us a little bit? I'm always curious to hear about that. I would love to see the Peace Corps expand. Like, I think we have it backwards in our country. Like, the Peace Corps should get the budget of the Army, and the Army could have the budget of the Peace Corps. And if we train people like we do to train them to go into the Army, to go into the Peace Corps, I think that would spread more goodwill. Might be a pipe dream, but that's always been my dream. I think it would just, you know, if we, somebody told me once, they're like, oh, because I wanted to go into the Peace Corps after high school, and they're like, high school kids aren't ready. And I was like, if you can train a high school kid to go to war, you could certainly train them to go into the Peace Corps. But maybe you have a different opinion. So do you want to tell us about your experience? I'll stop talking now.
Oh, it's okay. Peace Corps is great. They do require either background from college or life experience. So you need some work experience behind you, because what they send you in to do is either help out with health, teaching people about health issues, teaching in schools, or teaching people agriculture. I was sent in as a biology teacher. Oh. Even though you're sent in for one of those three categories, sometimes they send people for business too, but they do that mainly in Eastern Europe. But even though you're sent in one of those categories, you kind of end up working across all of them, because you work with whatever your community needs. Mm-hmm. So I taught high school biology. I ended up also teaching history because one of the teachers passed away, even though I'm not very good at history. I taught introductory science too, and then I helped with these social clubs they'd have for youth. I would teach them about HIV/AIDS and things like that. And as I said, I learned about permaculture there from a gal named Stacia, who, if you ever look her up, she's on Facebook, and she has a website too. She works for a non-government organization, and she was a former Peace Corps volunteer. So what she does is, every time a new group of Peace Corps volunteers come in, she teaches us about permaculture and shows us her garden. And she just lives in Malawi with her husband and her kid and works there, and she helps all sorts of people with different permaculture projects there. So that was my first exposure to that. So
when
the community gave me a house, I kind of built a mini permaculture garden in my backyard, or started to. I was only there 2 years, so I didn't really get to see it to maturity, and I kind of wonder if it survives or if the goats ate it.
So now, when was this? Was this recently or a while ago, or like
2002 to 2004?
Oh, that's pretty recent, sort of. I mean, I guess, I don't know. To me, it still feels recent. That's right when I graduated from college with my teaching degree. So you're a teacher too, or they just put you, because you had a science background, they had you teach biology? And
because I had the science background. I don't have a teaching degree, no.
Was it a big high school or a little high school? Or like, how many people live in Moa? Is it a big place or a little place?
Malawi is the size of the state of Indiana, but
Oh.
it has a large population because everybody has like 10 children.
Oh, okay.
But high school is not required like it is here. So
Right.
people who go to high school are paying their own way, or they have a relative sponsoring them or something like that. Sometimes they get scholarships through organizations like the Peace Corps or others. And I had 50 kids in a class,
Oh my
but that
goodness.
was the I was teaching the whole grade level at one time.
Oh wow.
So
That would
it
be
was a
tough.
little crazy.
I bet.
I was,
Are they a little
and
more
they teach
well-behaved
English.
there though than they are here since they're paying for it and it's more of a
Oh no, they're
privilege then?
teenagers.
Oh
No,
no.
they're teenagers. They're being rewired in their brain. So just like the rest of us were when we were teenagers. So, no, unfortunately.
Okay. You never know.
But
All right. Well, so do you want to tell us a little bit about your first gardening experience? I know you mentioned you learned from your parents, how old were you? Just, and what'd you grow? What do you remember? How big was the garden?
well, my mother always gardened, and we always did yard work. And from the time I was six, we lived in the boonies on a piece of property they got in redemption and fixed up on 4 acres of land. So we were always cutting down trees, hauling brush, hauling rocks, mowing, chopping something. But my first memory of my first garden was my dad would take my brother and I to these excursions on the weekend to like see things in the area, like parks or the library or something. And one time we went to Meadowbrook Hall in Rochester, which is one of those rich people's buildings that got, homes that got converted over into a museum.
Right,
So you can tour the gardens in the house. And this one happened to belong to one of the daughters of the Dodges, like the car people, Dodge Automotive. So they were very wealthy, had the big fancy house, and for their daughter, they had a little mini version of their big giant fancy house, complete
Oh.
with a garden, and it was adorable. And I was six years old when I saw this, so of course I was in love with it and wanted one, right? Because when you're six, you have no idea that that's not possible. So my parents, being the doting parents they were, took an old shed in the backyard and painted the inside pink and put my doll furniture in it. Of
Aw.
course, I was delighted with that,
Yeah.
but I needed a garden too. So we set up this, I think maybe 2 foot by 2 foot little patch of dirt surrounded with bricks, and I planted tulip bulbs in there. The amazing thing about the tulip bulbs is, one, they did come up in the spring, and two, they survived the deer for 5 years running. Which my
Wow.
mother's bulbs didn't. All the deer would always hit the tulips first. Somehow mine survived. So that was my first exposure to gardening on my own.
Huh, lucky you. Well, that's,
Yeah.
I wonder why that worked out. They just liked you being a little kid there and said, we're not going to eat her tulips.
I don't know, or maybe they were put off by the shed or something.
Maybe.
I don't
Okay. Well, so then how about, do you want to share with us a little bit about what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you?
Okay. I know there's a huge technical definition of that for people who actually want to go into organic farming, but I think in a nutshell, it's not using synthetic chemicals in the environment and trying to use as few chemicals as possible in general. Even because we sell organic sprays and things, but I think you even want to try to avoid it, using those as much as possible. So you're gardening with as little interference to nature as possible, I guess.
Nice. And who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques? Was it in the Peace Corps or from your parents or where did you learn kind of or what inspired?
My parents were pretty traditional. They didn't spray the, I mean, some people will just go through their yard and bomb it with synthetic sprays. My parents never did that. But they did, dust their roses sometimes if they saw a black spot or something with synthetic, chemicals and whatnot. So I started learning about it more when I learned about permaculture in Malawi. I learned about it even more when I came home and started reading up on it. To be honest, cannot say I'm 100% organic now because Last summer, I got poison ivy in my garden.
Oh.
And my choice was either hit it with Roundup or buy a hazmat suit to weed it with.
Oh.
I hit it with Roundup. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it would have taken over the planet.
Okay.
So.
Well, tell us about something that did grow well last year, last season.
I just moved into my house last season. So actually my primary gardening will start now, but I planted a couple pear trees in the backyard and they've made it through winter and they seem to be doing well. I also transplanted some things from my old house. I had some roses that were actually wild woodland roses from my mom's house that I transplanted here, and they made it through the winter. And I brought over some bloodroot that my dad had planted at their house, and it's now been to two houses where it's divided itself, so I took divisions from it and brought it here, and I'm hoping that will come up. I haven't seen it yet. It's still a little too cold, but
Okay. So, how about something that you want to try this year that you've never tried before? You're excited about doing differently this year.
I'm putting in along the lake shore. There's kind of a garden area there at my house, and I'll be taking pictures of it and putting it on the blog soon. But I'm going to be putting a herb garden in there.
Oh, nice.
So herbs mixed with flowers and perennial vegetables. So things like maybe asparagus sets or maybe stinging nettle or something like that in there. And I'm going to try out kiwi vines down the seawall
Oh.
and see if those survive. I've never tried them before, but
And would that,
they
you
seem
mean like it's
interesting.
gonna grow like kiwi the fruit?
Yeah, but it's not the fuzzy kind like you get at the grocery store from Australia. It's these non-fuzzy, maybe 3 times the size of a grape, but not as big as a standard grocery store kiwi. And they're supposed to be hardy in the north.
But they kind of look the same inside. They still have the green with the seeds and everything.
Yes.
That might be nicer because that fuzzy thing I think kind of puts a lot of people off. That fuzziness. And it'd be nice to get kind of a local or kiwi than having to import it from Australia. Neat. How about something that didn't work so well last season?
I had trouble with tomatoes last year because it was cool and damp. So I think I got late blight on them.
Oh.
They got some kind of mold or something on their leaves and turned brown. They made a couple tomatoes and I rescued them. They were green tomatoes. I just let them ripen indoors, but the plant died. I only put in two
Oh.
because, like I said, I just moved in last year. But I must have my tomatoes. I'll have
And
them
that's a
again this
great way to
year.
start. I think that's a good message to send out to our listeners that, don't start big, just, good, go for just two plants and treat those and then you'll have something. So, especially tomatoes, to me, I can't hardly buy a tomato in the grocery store anymore because I just
Oh
don't
yeah,
have
they
the
don't taste
taste
the
of a
same.
homemade tomato.
They don't at all. And the other thing too is my yard is small. I'm not on acreage. These lots on the lakes here are very narrow because everybody wants their piece of the lake. So it's a long, skinny, small area. So I can't do giant rows of anything. I have these curvy shaped beds that fit to the house, and I tend to hide things in among the flowers.
Cool. I
So.
like that. That's like, and you can do some companion planning that way, and it just kind of mixes things together. Excellent. How about something that you find is easy to grow or generally successful in that area, or maybe where your parents? So now, are you close to where you grew up? Where their places? It sounds like if you're transplanting things, or no, or
I'm about 50 miles from there.
that's
Yeah.
not far.
So what's easy to grow here? For vegetables, zucchini, it goes insane every year and takes over the world. For any kind of herb that they all pretty much grow well up here. Bay lilies and hosta, you'll see everywhere, and they almost get boring, but lots of things grow. Bleeding heart does well, echinacea does well, any wild flower or native does well. Things that don't do well are things that would grow down south, or they try to push the zone sometimes at some of the garden centers. They'll sell you things that are really, I think, zone 6, and we're zone 5B, and they'll put 5 on the tag, but you can't believe them. So, at my last house, I bought a Purus japonica. It's a broadleaf evergreen with these bell-shaped flowers, and it's really pretty. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be like an azalea, but it didn't survive, and then I started looking around. I noticed nobody else has one either, even though they sell them at the garden centers all the time. So I think they're pushing the zones with some stuff. So
that's a great message to send out, because I think that's true, that the garden centers definitely do things like that. How about your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, is there anything that you have to force yourself to get out there and do?
I think hauling, if I am putting in a new garden, I like to having good dirt and good edging, and especially stone edging, but I hate actually hauling it, because by the end of the day, you're just in pain and blisters from the wheelbarrow handles. So maybe if I were stronger, maybe I need to lift weights, but that's probably the hardest on me.
I was talking to one of my guests about what would be my favorite. I was talking to Mike, my husband, about it one day, and he was saying his shovel, and I thought my first gut reaction would be my long-handed shovel, and then I was thinking, I think my tool of choice would be my wheelbarrow, because I could replace my shovel for one thing a lot easier, and I could not live without a wheelbarrow. So but hauling certainly puts you to work. So, and digging rocks, Mike's been digging a new bed, so he's been digging. We have very rocky soil, so that's always, he loves rocks though. He does so much rock work, it's crazy.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're just a pain to move.
Good muscle building though, get that metabolism going, I guess.
It's true.
Good for you. All right, how about your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Oh, planting. I love it because, you get instant gratification because you've cleaned up the bed and you put something in there and it instantly looks good. And then you get long-term gratification because it's going to grow and be gorgeous and maybe make you food.
Nice. That's a great answer. Okay. How about your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what would be your tool you couldn't live without?
That's hard. There's a couple, but probably I have this thing that's kind of like a cross between a spade and a knife. I'm not sure what the tool is actually called, but it's great for weeding, and you can also kind of spoon dirt work with it. But
any tips for eating or harvesting vegetables or fruit on time? That's always the toughest one for me. Got any tips for when things are coming up?
On my website, I actually have a chart from MSU so at least if you're in Michigan, Zone 5, you can kind of get a rough of idea of when things are coming in season, but more or less just keep an eye on them. Herbs you can harvest anytime, basically, as long as they haven't bolted or something, meaning they haven't set up flowers and seeds. Things like tomatoes and whatever, you just wait for them to turn red and pick them when they're red, or if you have to, you can pick them when they're green and put them in the house. Zucchini, you want to pick them small, otherwise they'll grow into a baseball bat. Basically, when they start to look like what you've got at the grocery store, when they're the color they should be, it depends on what vegetable it is, that's when you pick it. So,
excellent.
Unless you have a specific one you want to know.
Just always my problem is always like everything seems to come on at the same time, or like, I don't know, I'm always pushed for time. So it's like some days it seems like I go down and harvest it one day and then I wash it the next day. And then the third day I'm finally getting to eat it. And so I kind of ask that question just to see if people have a, plus we always have so much more than I can eat. And I don't know, sometimes sharing it seems difficult for me to get it to people's houses before it goes bad, but partly, like I said, that's because I harvest it one day and wash it the next day and
Oh, that's
time I
true.
get it to their place, or even if I wash it the same day, and then if it's like lettuce or something, and I put it in a bag, it seems like it gets stinky or something.
That is true, and things do come in all at the same time, especially if you put them in at the same time. I think some
Right.
things like lettuce you can succession plant, so like plant every 2 weeks. But things like your, I don't know, your apple tree. Yeah, you're going to get all your apples at the same time, and you just have to hustle and can them or freeze them or donate them to the food bank or something because they all come at once. True.
How about secrets for preserving food? Do you do anything to make it last longer, canning or freezing or anything for preserving food?
I can. I will can tomatoes and things like that. I also got a pressure canner last year, and I'll make spaghetti sauce, and then I'll can the spaghetti sauce. Or I'm going to try broth this year. I haven't done that before. But if you go on the it's like the ball canning website, there's all sorts of directions for how long you need to boil things and whatnot. But just as a warning to people, if you regular can, you need the food to either be acidic like pickles or super sugary like jelly for it to preserve well and so you don't get sick. If you want to do anything that's not acidic or super sugary like soup or spaghetti sauce or anything like that, meat, you need a pressure canner, which is not the same as a pressure cooker. So if you go on Amazon or somewhere and look it up just to see. With a pressure canner. Pressure cooker, if you try to can in a pressure cooker, it can explode and hurt you. So please, this is my disclaimer. Please don't do that.
Okay, good. That's a good one. I guess Mike must, that's what he has, so I don't know. I let him do all that. It always looks like a giant ex science experiment to me too when the steam's coming out and
It's
but
mostly
I
just
guess
boiling.
I
It's
think
teaching.
I think if you grow up like that and like you watched your parent, like he watched his mom do it, so it just seems more natural to him. Whereas like my mom didn't can food, so maybe it scares me more. I've never been much of a scientist though, you know, like chemistry, biology. I think I had to have a tutor to pass them. So
I think if you let him show you, you'll find it's easier than you think. When you go to make things like jelly and so on, that's a little tricky. But if you're just straight up doing, I don't know, peaches and sugar water or tomatoes, it's pretty easy. It's just add a little lemon juice and boil for the right number of minutes. And actually, if you boiled it too long, that's okay. It's not boiling it long enough that's a problem.
okay. And I didn't realize that there's a difference between canning tomatoes and canning tomato sauce. So that's good to know. I have never tried to can tomato sauce. That's a good idea. I like that. Because then you would have it through the winter. How about special techniques? Got any weird or unusual foods that you cook or like to eat that you could share with us?
Trying to think if anything's all that strange. Probably, I guess I'm pretty conventional. I mean, I'll eat sushi, but I don't cook it myself. I don't know. What would I eat? It's odd. So I guess some of the greens, like I said, I'm going to try to plant stinging nettle, and I want to give that a try. I guess you have to cook it so it doesn't sting you first.
Oh.
And there's wild greens, like, of course, you can eat dandelion leaves and things like that. So, and herbs that people don't think about, you can throw in salads sometimes. So I guess that's one
That's what
thing.
I was gonna ask you if you didn't come up with that. Like, do you have any special herbs to share or something? Because a lot of the guests that I've had on that talk about herbs are some of the most popular episodes. Like when I go look at the downloads, so people seem to be interested in herbs. Do you have like any unusual herbs that maybe in your garden or what herbs do you like to grow?
Oh, I love them all. For various reasons, they attract insects. They smell good. They taste good. You can use them for lots and lots of things. But I have, well, I'm planning on putting in a row of lavender along the edge of this walkway in the garden. So when you go by it, you can smell it. I've started some lemon balm and some chamomile. What else did I start?
Oh,
Chives.
that's a good one. I haven't heard anybody say they planted chamomile.
Yeah, it makes a nice daisy flower on it.
Right.
And bees love it, and it smells great, and it makes awesome tea.
And chives, aren't chive flowers so pretty? Oh, I think herbs have some of the prettiest flowers. I mean, my sage, I love those flowers. My oregano, even though it spreads everywhere, has really pretty flowers. Like, that's a great point about herbs, that they do have beautiful flowers. And I think they go really nice in bouquets. They're a little bit of a smaller flower, I think, than, like a big bloom, but they're very delicate. And I love herbs.
That's true.
So.
I saw this lovely thing on YouTube about kitchen gardens in Britain, and somebody had used chives with their purple flowers to edge the kitchen garden and made a
Ooh.
really nice edging. So,
Nice. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
well, I already mentioned the spaghetti sauce. I like things fresh because they have flavor compared to the grocery store, so I make salad a lot. And I like pesto.
Nice.
That's a great way to use herbs too. You don't have to do it just basil. You can do it with pretty much any herb that you like. Like you can make oregano pesto if you've got a lot of oregano, or even mint.
I'm gonna have to try
Okay.
that. That is a great idea. Oregano pesto. And isn't that funny? Because I never knew you could make pesto out of anything but basil until, like I think it was like episode 5 or 6. I had a guest on, Patty Ann Bennett, and she talked about making pesto out of different herbs, and I had never tried that, and I still didn't even think that might be a great use for my oregano because I have so much oregano. I don't bet that would taste really good. I'm definitely going to experiment with pesto this summer
Yeah, it's good
because I
stuff.
love pesto. Okay, how about a favorite internet resource?
I like Dave's Gardens when you're
Oh,
just
okay.
looking up plants. I like the MSU Extension when you need good semi-sciencey information with Michigan
Excellent.
State University.
So I'm curious a little bit about, you said your gardening's just a hobby, but then you've gone and taken this master gardener course. So is it going to become more than just a hobby, or are you just doing that just because you just want to know more, or?
Doing it because I want to know more. A master gardener, is not a degree of any sort, and it really doesn't qualify you for any sort of job per se. It's
Right.
more like you go in and you learn about gardening, and then you have this in to this group that you also do community service kind of work in order to maintain your master gardener status.
Oh, really? I didn't
So,
know that.
so every, I think the first year you're required to do 40 hours of community service, and then every year after, I think it's 10 or 15, something like that. So and then you have to take follow-up classes to learn more. So the classes are fun. They're just little hour seminars or whatever. And then you do things like, I don't know, I've joined a garden club here in Brighton, Michigan, and they are going to be working on the library garden in our town. So I'll be helping with that, I think, this summer. But they have other ones too that are on days when I'm working. Unfortunately, they have like a victory garden and the post office garden and a bunch of stuff. So you go and do gardening for the general public or teach people or help children, all sorts of things like that.
Wow, I had no idea that that was part of it. Well, excellent. And I love that idea, a library garden. I always said, like, I always talk about if I was president of the United States, there's three things I would do. And one of them is definitely I would expand our libraries. I think they should be huge, like education hubs for people to be able to continue their education, either beyond college, kind of more like expanding. Like adult ed through our library. I think the potential for the libraries, and I would have our libraries open practically 24 hours a day. Like maybe not where I live, where it's rural, but definitely in the big cities. Like I love the
That
library.
would
I've
be
always loved the library when I was a little kid. I've loved libraries on different college campuses I've been to. I've loved libraries, in every town. I've never lived in a town where I didn't have a library card to that library, and I just. I just think there's so much there. And I always talk about our library here, people down it a lot because you can read every book on the shelf. You know, you can look at every title probably within 2 hours. I mean, it's tiny. But they have an incredible interlibrary loan program. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts and people are always recommending books, the first thing I do is go to the interlibrary loan website and see if I can borrow it before I buy it. And
I
just
totally
think libraries are great. So, and a garden at the library, what an incredible place to share knowledge. So cool. Well, excellent. That sounds wonderful. How about a favorite reading material or a favorite book or magazine or blog or website or anything to share with listeners?
Oh, if you want to learn about permaculture, anything by Bill Mollison is great.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to get her name wrong. I think her name's Amy Stewart. She wrote books called Good Bug, Bad Bug. And I'm actually looking for her stuff right now.
That's all right. I can put the links in the show
Wicked
notes.
Plants.
And some... Cool.
Oh, yeah, it is Amy Stewart. It's Wicked Plants was a great book. And those are more like you can actually sit down and read them. Because she tells stories about, like Wicked Plants is about different plants that are poisonous. But some of them are gorgeous. And things in history have happened because of these plants
Wow, that could be a great like launch to a children's book or some kind of new fairy tale. I'm going to have to look that up. And Good Bug, Bad Bug was recommended by another guest on the show. And so I have that book right in my wish list from Amazon for one of the books I'm going to buy as soon as I buy some more books.
I think her other one too is, oh, there's two others I can think of. One's called Flower Confidential that she wrote. And I think another one was The Earth Moved or something like that. It's about earthworms.
Cool. All right. I'm going to have to check into her stuff. Excellent. And so my final question I just like to ask everybody is if there was one change that you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, like is there a charity or an organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either in your local area or like on a national or a global scale? Like what do you want to see to make a greener world?
I'd like for the Environmental Protection Agency to have some teeth, if that makes sense.
Nice.
I worked for them very briefly. I did an internship. And they have a bunch of brilliant people who honestly do care about the environment working there, and they have to boil all their research down into a 4-minute soundbite that's good for a politician to listen to, and then the politicians most of the time ignore it. So it would be fantastic if they listened to their own people.
So glad we have an EPA in the United States, I just think. And you know what? The EPA has one of the best podcast I ever listened to. It was a brief time that they did it. They're very short little episodes, and I think you could probably listen to all the episodes they produced in an hour, if I'm remembering right, because it was a while ago, because like I said, it was a short, but they have a great podcast full of information, and that's awesome. Yep, and so true. I think we all wish they had more power. I mean, to me, I wish they had more power. I guess I'm certainly we all don't. Because
they get blamed for a lot of things that I don't think they should be blamed for, and it's they're trying to regulate in between being told no.
Absolutely. Great answer. Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Andrea. And so then just do you have an inspirational tip or a quote to help motivate our listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
No, just try it, and the plants are on your side. They want to grow, so just encourage them, and they'll do most of the work for you.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Andrea. Do you just want to tell everybody what the name of your blog is so they can, if they don't go to the show notes page, they know how to get there? And
well, sure. It's My Lake Home Garden, but my is spelled like M-I, like Michigan. So M-I-L-A-K-E-H-O-M-E-G-A-R-D-E-N.blogspot.com.
And it's just a great blog. So I'm sure many of our listeners will want to go there. And thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me today, for sharing all your knowledge and just being a wonderful guest. I loved all your stories and wish you the best of luck with everything. And do you just want to say goodbye?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. If you like what you've heard today, we'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. It really helps us get found by other listeners and share the knowledge. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day.